Well, good morning. Welcome to Austin Bible Church. We are delighted to have you with us today. If you are visiting with us, you picked a marvelous Sunday to visit. We have a fun guest speaker. We are excited to have Moses Onwabiko with us. This is now the second time that Moses has spoken at Austin Bible Church. About a year ago, last summer, was the first. He came on a Sunday night and realized that was not, I mean, it was fun. It was good. I'm glad we did it, but I'm thinking, you know what? Sunday morning, we get better attended. We can broaden the exposure for GEM Ministries and for the ministry. So I'm thankful that it worked out very well, that they were able to be with us here this morning. Also, keep them in prayer because this evening they're going to Lost Pines Bible Church, and they're going to be introduced to Pastor Cliff Beveridge, obviously. And it's their first time to have a Sunday evening service. And Cliff is excited about it, and they're hoping that this will spark a new trend, and they will have Sunday evening services from now on, has been something they've been praying about. So, of course, there's health issues there, too. We want to keep in prayer as well. In any event, lift all those things up, and also, please, please, remember Pastor Dan Craw. Today is the first out of six out of seven Sundays that he's going to be candidating in Corpus Christi. So keep Corpus Christi Bible Church in your prayers, keep Pastor Dan in your prayers, and we will watch to see as the Lord provides. Well, Moses Onwabiko, pastor, missionary, evangelist, friend, all different titles. I'm trying to think. I was first exposed when Pastor Emil Schmidt gave me a book, and it was on suffering. It said, Comfort in Suffering. He says, do you know this guy? I said, no, I don't know this guy. And so I read through it, and I said, I want to know this guy. This is good doctrine here. And then a book on Christian marriage. Those were the first two right off the bat, a couple of others afterwards, and then we met for the first time face-to-face in Oklahoma City. Drew Freeman was hosting a missionary conference there, and so it was our first opportunity at Trinity Bible Church in Oklahoma City. And I'm just so thankful that the Lord provided and brought you to us last year and brought you again here this year. So Moses, please, bring us the word.
Am I wired yet? What a joy to be with you this morning. And a joy to be fellowshipping with those who love our Lord Jesus Christ. It is a thing of joy to see that this country still has a blinking light. That's why we are still standing, because of this light. Since I've been, last summer, we were here last summer, and after, I think, around this time, I believe, since then we have been to more than a dozen countries since I saw you last. And this year alone, I have been to about 8 countries already. Sometimes I lose count. Yeah, we just came back from a 4-country trip, from Indonesia to Guatemala to Honduras and Mexico. A lot of things are happening in all over the world where the Word of God is taking place. Sadly, it is not the same. I cannot say the same thing for our own country. People, I just can't tell you how people, they look forward to the Word of God with great anticipation. People traveled miles on foot to come and hear the Word. People would give in. Wherever, anything, just to come and hear the word. At one point, there was a group that traveled all night long just to arrive in the morning to hear the word of God, because there was no form of transportation for them. When you see and you look at these people, how little they have and how they want to invest their time in hearing the word of God, and then you come back to our own nation, you find out the opposite. Every time I come back, I'm always excited to go back again. Because it's like a chef, when you cook, you want people to eat your food. If you cook all your food, my brother Bob will testify. If you cook your, spend all night preparing for your food and you come up in the morning here and nobody shows up, it's not a good feeling. But you are happy when people are eating what you are cooking and you can't serve them enough. And so, it's always I don't know how much to report, where to report. It's just too many to report. And there are a lot of things the Lord is doing in overseas, Asia, Africa, Europe, and so many other countries that the Lord continue to open doors for us. We have been to very close to 90 countries now, still traveling as the Lord continues to open doors. We were in Turkey. I was in Turkey this winter. And in Turkey, you all know about Turkey. It was a former Bible Belt, if you would call it Ephesus, the state of Ephesus, which is now a Muslim belt. You have probably 0.02% Christianity in Ephesus, in Turkey. House church, people. This is where ISIS, they are still rampaging, killing and destroying anything they can. You put your head and they recognize you are a Christian, you are gone. And we were there, and as the Lord will have it, I spoke in at least two places. When you speak about underground, that's really underground. You can find, unless you are a Christian and unless they know who you are or your family member knows you, they will not bring you to their meeting because you will expose them. And it was there that I ministered to them, and a group, I spoke on this issue, on the subject, the deity of Jesus Christ. Because when you meet these people who, for you, you hear the word Jesus, you can connect the dots. But these people, they hear the word Jesus, they think of him as a good man, a good prophet. They never connect him to God. So when you tell them that Jesus is God, they said, at one point, I remember in Pakistan, I spoke to a group of pastors, hundreds of them, after the first section, I was just in passing mentioned that Jesus Christ from John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. I wasn't teaching that, but it was just touching. After a word, when the time for them to have lunch came, a pastor came and sat beside me. I said, go join them for lunch. He said, no, lunch has to wait. But you will not wait. Did you say that Jesus was God? That was the deep doctrine. That was a pastor. Saying that Jesus Christ was God was a deep doctrine. And then you can imagine what he was teaching his congregation. And so, my excitement highlight in Turkey, after I finished the first section and explaining to them the connection in relation to Jesus Christ, about three or four of them came forward with excitement. Now we know who Jesus is. Before, we used to go to the street and kill people for what we don't know. But now we know who Jesus is. We are ready to go in the street and preach Jesus and let somebody come and kill us. These were former ISIS members. And so, these are the people we come across. You don't know who is who. Just trusting that the Lord is sending you. I always tell people that I'm not afraid to go where the Lord is sending me because I know he will keep me. I'm afraid to go where I know he's not sending me. Then I'm afraid. If the Lord is asking you to go anywhere, you are in danger for not going. I can tell you that. I have a first-hand experience on that. And so, it is. I want to thank you all for those of you at the church, my brother and beloved partner in his vineyard, for your prayers for our ministry. The Lord is using the ministry for his glory. I thank God that God is doing it in such a way that there is no room for me to take credit. I thank God for that. I don't want his credit. That would be putting myself in harm's way to share God's glory. God is doing amazing things, and you are part of it. I just want you to know that in missionary, there are division of labor. Some are in the field and some stay back home. There are people who maintain the supply line, and so that people in the field can do their work effectively. All are considered as a unit before God. You don't feel that, oh, well, I didn't cross the river, so I'm not a missionary. No, you are equally as a missionary as one who crossed the river, so long as you are maintaining your own portion of the division of labor. We are, like Paul said, we are all jointed together. The finger, everything, the parts of the body, they're all meant to play different roles. Your eye is not your whole body. If thank God for that. And so, in the same way, as we are all sharing in the work of our Lord Jesus Christ, so grateful that this church partake of this great work. I also see other missionaries that the church support in one way or the other. Our unit is shrinking and more reinforcement is needed. People cry and cry, literally begging for us to send people to the mission, to come teach them, to come help them. And it's only Moses need more reinforcement. And thank God that some churches are now coming up. I was in Cuba with Pastor Mark Perkins, and they have come up to adopt Cuba as a territory to minister. And Pastor Roxa from Duluth, he is also coming up to adopt the mission field in Kenya, and he's wanting to adopt other areas. And so when I travel to places like this, I only ask that people would see the need to step out into the mission field. There is so much and so much hunger. People are crying, wanting somebody to just teach them the basics. And so pray about that. If the Lord will put in your heart to participate. My brother Rick, thank God for his daughter who joined us in Mexico. And I always rejoice when I see young people stepping forward in the mission field. Well, He can give me, he can put a star on my chart because I'm not a good reporter. So if I have reported this far, I think I have done so good. My sister Debbie will tell you that. Now this morning, let's go to where I like to go. Not that I don't like to say what God does. I love to say that. But this is where I love to be most of my time, in the Word of God. The Bible tells us, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. Your word have I stored in my soul that I may not sin against you. Sanctify them with your word, for your word is the truth. Grass withers, flower fades, but the word of God shall abide forever. He will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusted in thee. Trust in the Lord Jehovah, for underneath are the everlasting arms. All scripture is God's breed. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that a man of God might be matured and furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman who need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Let us pray. Holy God, we bow in total humility before you, asking that you open our hearts upward, asking that you will sanctify our minds. Help us to concentrate. Keep distraction away from us as we look intently into your word. We ask all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. My topic this morning is to how to destroy a nation under God. How to destroy a nation under God. My heart goes out for what happened in Dallas, as we all, I'm sure, we pray for the family members who lost their lives, or those who are affected, the police officers as a whole. My heart goes out for so many people who have lost their lives in one way or the other. I was driving in early in the morning on Friday when that's where I normally get my news on the radio because of usually time. If I don't get it there, then the next place will be Google. Google News. Google CNN. Google whatever I can Google, just on the go. And what caught my attention was when the organizer of the, what do you call it, march or demonstration, identified himself as a pastor. He hit me like a bullet. And the question in my mind is, why are we moving pulpit from the church to the street? I have heard these things so many times. I have watched demonstrators. I have watched their leaders identify themselves as reverend, bishop, and so many other titles that I, from my studies and from my understanding, belong to church and not in the street. Years back, Conan Arubi theme used to say something that didn't resonate with me as such. As goes the believer, so goes the nation. At that time, I didn't really connect until I started independent and serious Bible study, connecting scripture with history, looking from different angles, and then that began to make sense to me. That we, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, I then realized that it takes the church to build a nation under God. It takes Christians to raise a nation under God. And it takes Christians or believers or the church to destroy it. Who can destroy a nation under God? No one, no superpower, no ammunition can destroy a nation under God, under God's supervision. The only ones that can destroy a nation under God are those who erected it. And that's Christians. That's the church. Bear with me as we maneuver or go through this lesson. Pay attention as I take you step by step to what I have. In fact, this lesson is not in connection to what happened in Dallas. In fact, the lesson was impressed upon my heart or my mind on Wednesday. And when it happened on Friday, I said, I wish I had delivered this message before this thing happened. So that it wouldn't look like, oh, now you got a message in conjunction. But I couldn't get away from this message either. And so that's where the job of a minister is not a joke. The job of one who tells the truth is not a joke. It's the job of a person who stands and tells it as it is. It's not that the ordinary job. And that's why you have people trying to color it, color the word of God, color it, make it look a little bit presentable, make it look welcoming, take something out and add things so that you say, wow, that's great. So that you can be in good time with them. But when you look at somebody in the eye and tell the person, thus says the Lord, exactly as God says it, sooner or later, either you go to jail or somebody will begin to cut you off. But you have to, if you are to be truth to the word of God. Ronald Reagan, one of my heroes of this nation, he has some sayings. And one of the sayings is, he said, if we ever forget, this is a quote, that we are a nation under God, then we will be a nation gone under. End of quote. I'm sure you may have heard that before. How to destroy a nation under God. There are five cycles. If you have a notebook, we're going to do some drawing. And you see, this is where you have a taste of Bible students. If you have a notebook like mine, you can just get a piece of paper because we're going to draw five circles. Unless you have your iPad, iMac, iDistract, all those eyes. You see, the devil is so sneaky. Nowadays, when you see people in the church, very few carry their Bibles. What is your Bible? I have it here. I distract. My Bible is here, right here. Oh, I got everything downloaded. I distract. One of my best friends in Houston, he tells me that some members in his church text during sermon. They text the one in the back, text the one in the front. And the one in the front text the one in the middle. As a pastor, you see them, you think, wow, these people are serious students of the word of God. See how they are taking note. Very fast. Not so fast. they are texting to one another. How would you know? Would you go say, what are you doing in your phone right there? We don't do that. But they are being distracted. And you give a sermon for 1 hour and they go home with nothing. I distract. That's what I call it. You can call it whatever you want. Because the devil is so sneaky. You don't have you come with it with good intention. Nothing, but all of a sudden by the time you go, you remember that I need to tell him something or tell her something. This is the time to tell him right here. Well, if you have a note, let's begin with five cycles. Begin with a small one in the middle. Give yourself a space whereby you can come up with five cycles. How to destroy a nation under God. Begin with a small cycle in the middle, and that's number one cycle. How can a nation under God destroy itself? Or how can you participate in the destruction of a nation under God? Remember, it takes you, it takes me to erect a nation under God. Then how can we participate in dismantling such a nation? That's why this message is so pertinent and so important in the time like this. In the center, number one is lack of passion for God's word. Lack of passion for God's word. It takes the word of God, love for the word of God, passion for the word of God to begin the erection of a nation under God. When you look at through scripture, even Reagan himself says, with the covers of the Bible are the answers for all the problems men face. End of quote. With the covers of the Bible are the answers for all the problems men face. When you look at the Bible, the Word of God, it is the lifeline of a nation under God. The Word of God is the lifeline of a nation under God. It is the nucleus of a nation. And I'm going to show you this from the scripture. When you look at, there were five finest kings that brought Israel or Judah to revival, to great revival. Whether you talk about Asa, Jehoshaphat, Hezekiah, all of them concentrated on the word of God. When they went into exile and came back, they knew the reason for their failure, the abandonment of the word of God. And so when they came back, all they did was to concentrate in retraining people's mind through the word of God. You read 2 Chronicles 17. You find that truth. You read 2 Chronicles 15, 16, you find the truth. The word of God. You see, when God called Joshua to take the place of Moses, in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, God handed him the key to success. This book of the law. This is God speaking, not his servant. It wasn't a prophet speaking to Moses, to Joshua. This was God direct speak to Joshua. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. You shall meditate on it day and night. so that you'll be able to do according to what is written in it. Only then shall you be prosperous. Only then will you have success. This book of the law, nothing else, shall not depart from your mouth. And when King David wrote his first psalm, he began the whole psalm in chapter 1. What did he begin it with? The word of God. When you read Proverbs chapter 3, 4, chapter 8, you will see the power of the word of God. Moses in Deuteronomy 32, verse 47 calls it your life. It is your life. It is not only your life, but the life of your nation. Peter, talking to our Lord, said, to whom shall we go? To whom shall we run to? You have the word of life. I have a book here by one of great authors, a historian and an award winner, Barbara Tuchman, Bible and Sword. This very well written gave us a picture of Great Britain. Bible and sword. What it's trying to tell you is that Bible shaped, the word of God shaped the empire of Great Britain. I'm going to read just few from her book. Just a very few, not a whole lot. This is what she said. He said, in the year 1558, Henry VIII issued a proclamation ordering one book of the whole Bible of the largest volume in English to be placed in every church in England. The proclamation further ordered the clergy to place the Bible in some convenient place, whereas your parishioners may most commodiously resort to the same and read it also, that you shall discourage no man from reading or hearing of the said Bible, but you shall expressly steer, provoke, and exhort every person to read the same. With the translation of the Bible into English and its adoption as the highest authority for an autonomous English church, the history, traditions, and moral law of the Hebrew nation became part of the English culture, became for a period of 3 centuries the most powerful single influence on that culture. Whereas, wherever the Reformation took hold, the Bible replaced the Pope as the final spiritual authority. Thomas Hawkes said it best. He said that the noblest in English history, that it has become the national epic of Britain. No other book penetrated so deeply the bone and the spiritual and the spirit of English life. Everyone knew it. In the many homes, it was the only book in the house, and being so, was read over and over until its words and images and characters and stories became as familiar as bread. Children learned long chapters by heart. I can go on and on and on. The word of God was ingrained in their mind, and it impacted their culture. As a result, the moral fiber was erected and so goes spiral upward the empire of Great Britain. The word of God. On that, they sat as an empire. It changed their thinking. And so goes the believer. And the nation and the empire of Great Britain was erected. They were missionary minded, sending missionaries to Africa, to all over the world, colonizing and preaching the truth. They were on fire because the word has impacted them. The word of God has changed their thinking. When you look further for their, how Great Britain came down, you find out the word of God was the first thing to go. There was an attack on the word of God. There was an attack on the truth. There was a compromise on the word. And eventually, Great Britain came down. And so, how to destroy a nation under God? The first one is lack of passion for God's word. Lack of passion for God's word. When we lose grip on the word of God, sooner or later, it will move us to the next cycle. As we see today, how many people are passionate about the word of God? Not too many. You see today in our own nation, see empty seats. But there are some churches today, if you go right now, you can't find a seat. And you wonder what they do. The Bible tells us in those days, people will be tinkling ears. Just tell us what we want to hear. Don't tell us the whole truth. Hold some. Because it makes us uncomfortable to hear the truth. If I can eat my cake and have it, that's the way I want it. People have reasons. I want to go to this church because they have more activities for my children, for my family. My children, they are grown up. They want to participate in basketball. And this church, you don't have basketball court. Sorry for you. Too bad. They are doing swimming activity. This church, you don't have it. We have so many things. And so we want to be in a church that their choir, they are singing. They can sing you to sleep. Amazing. And for that reason, goodbye, Brother Bob. You are a great teacher, but see you. We keep you in prayer. Pew, they're gone. And when they come home, you say, what did you learn? Well, it was so good. But what was the topic? Forget about the topic. It was a great service. Lack of passion for God's word. That was the problem in the time when Israel was indicted. 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 3. 2 Chronicles 15, verse 3. And for many days, Israel was without the true God, and without teaching priests, and without law. For many days, literally for many years, Israel, 3 indictments. No Bible teachers. They didn't have the word of God. And then you abandoned God. You see, nobody will come and say, from today on, I'm going to make a decision. I will abandon God. I can't find a believer who will do that. But it's very tricky. It starts in a way that you can't even recognize it. It starts by you abandoning the word of God. When you abandon the word of God, ultimately you will abandon God. Because God and his word are interconnected. You cannot know God unless you know his word. You cannot love God unless you know his word. To love God is to know his word. And so when you don't know his word, you don't love God. When you don't know his word, you don't know God. You can be in a church without knowing his word, you don't know him. If you say you know him, it's just an emotional claim, not the truth. You cannot love somebody unless you know him. If you love someone apart from knowledge, that's emotion. But the more you know a person, the more you come closer or the more you run away. Isn't the truth? When you know a person, you don't want to associate with he or she, because you say, thank God for color ID. You don't want to talk to. Because you don't want to talk to, period. But if a person you know, and you just can't stop but talk to the person, thank God for color ID. Hello. To know God is to know his word. And when we abandon or lack passion for God's word, it moves us to the second cycle. Lack of love for God. Lack of love for God. That's the second cycle. So you draw your second cycle. How to destroy a nation under God. Lack of love for God. Revelation chapter 2. In Revelation chapter 2, Ephesus was indicted. You see, Ephesus was the only church in the apostolic era that received two epistles from two apostles. Ephesus received from Apostle Paul and then received a letter from the Apostle John from the island of Patmos. In Revelation chapter 2, Jesus spoke directly to the church at Ephesus. See what the indictment was in Revelation chapter 2. In verse 2, I know your deeds and your toil and perseverance, and that you cannot endure evil men, and you put to the test those who call themselves apostles and they are not. Verse 4, but I have this against you, that you have left your first love. How do you feel when somebody leaves his first love for you? As a spouse, or as a friend, how do you feel when somebody's love for you is watered down? How often do you hear people say, you don't love me as you used to? There's something between us. That love, that passion, that fire that I don't see it anymore. You used to call me honey. You don't call me honey anymore. What happened? Something along the line has happened. And so Jesus said to this church, something against you, you have lost that love. Well, how does it happen? When you don't have passion for the word of God, from whence the love is fueled. Without connection to the word of God, very soon you lose connection with God. Without passion for the word of God, very soon you lose passion for the word of God, for God. Because the more you know God, the more you see how good God is. And the more you see how good God is, the more you love him. The more you learn about his grace, his compassion, his kindness, the more you can't wait but hug him more and more. The more you love him intensely, because you are getting deeper and deeper understanding his grace, what Christ did to secure your soul great salvation. How do you know about that? Through scripture. How to destroy a nation under God. John 14:15 said, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my word. And that's the true test of love. See, it's not just I love you, I love you, I love you. Love is an action thought phenomena. It goes with action. I love you. Demonstrate it. You love Jesus. How do you demonstrate it? Do you obey his word? Oh, his word? Do you know it? You have already left it in cycle number one. That's how the love is already gone, because you have nothing to obey. That moves us rapidly to cycle number three. Cycle number three. Lack of interest for the Great Commission. Lack of interest for the Great Commission. Jesus Christ came for nothing but for the soul. Christ came only for the soul, nothing more. Nothing was the heartbeat of God than the soul. He left his throne for the soul. He came to seek that which was lost, and that's the soul. He gave everything. He gave his glory. He stepped out of his glory for the soul. And no wonder why the Great Commission is the heart of our Lord's commission. He said it over and over in Matthew 28. Go, go and proclaim the gospel to all nations. Go, make disciples. It's a mandate. Make disciples. It's a command. It's an imperative mood. Keep on making disciples. Don't stop. Don't take a break. Don't go on a vacation. But when you have forgotten the word of God, which fuels your love for God, then whatever Jesus said doesn't mean anything to you. The Great Commission doesn't mean anything to you. You don't have any passion to share the gospel with others who are in your periphery. There are people who don't go Christians. I'm talking about Christians in this nation who don't go to mission. They don't have nothing to do with missionary activities. I am not here to raise money. I'm not doing any fundraising. That's what I told God 20 years ago. I'm not going to do any fundraising. If you don't send money to me, I'm not going. It's that simple. If you want me to go anywhere in the world, I'm ready to go. But send money. I'm not going to ask anybody for a penny, a dime. So if you think I come here to raise money, I will close now and just head back to Tennessee. I'm not here to raise money. And God has been faithful for 20 years. Faithful. Faithfully providing for us to travel wherever he wants us to go. But do you know there are people, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, who spend more money for their pets than the souls dying in Africa, Asia, and elsewhere? And that is the truth. They spend perhaps thousands of dollars a year. And you ask them, how much did you give for mission this year? Mission? I never even thought about mission. Because you have no love for God. The mandate of Jesus don't mean anything to you anymore. How to destroy a nation under God. Lack of interest for the Great Commission. And this Jesus Christ takes this seriously to the point that there's an attachment of blessing. How beautiful are the feet of those who spread good tidings. That's a promise. On the other hand, when we fail to accomplish this Great Commission, Jesus Christ takes another route, and that's discipline. That's what brought, one of the things that brought Great Britain down and began to dismantle them. Today, Great Britain is probably less than 2 or 3% Christianity. Christian in Great Britain today, less than 2%. A nation that probably was 98% before. Now 2%. I have traveled there so many times. Churches are being converted to mosques.
We personally saw a church that was used for car wash. My sister Debbie took a picture of that. The steeple was still standing. But we saw cars passing by it. A church. Cathedrals, now museums. But this was once a nation under God. A platform for the gospel. Training and sending missionaries. When Great Britain went down, America was erected. How was it erected? The same way. The word of God. People who came here were on fire for the word of God. They had passion for God's word. The first 108 institutions that were founded in America, 106 of them were Christian schools. The first institution, Harvard, was a Christian school founded for the purpose of training clergy and preparing them for mission. And so many other, Harvard, Yale, Princeton, they were on the same platform. People were on fire for the Lord. Look at your money. In God we trust. Somebody's trying to erase it today. Erase that, erase. Bible, Congress authorized that Bible be distributed in schools. Congress. Today, the same different Congress. Take Bibles out of school, they don't belong there. Attack everywhere. But it started with believers. They have grown cold to the word of God. You see, it doesn't take the Congress to dismantle a nation. It takes the believers. Righteousness exalts a nation. Not the Congress. That moves us. See, by the time we get to the fourth cycle, we have been devoid from reality, moved away from God. And that fourth one is pleasure-driven. Pleasure-driven. That's the fourth cycle. At that time, the light is blinking, danger, danger. And that's where you find many Christians today in this nation. Pleasure. Pleasure. I'm going to combine the fourth one and the fifth one together. Pleasure-driven, and then the fifth cycle is frantic search for happiness. That's the fifth and the final cycle. When believers get here in a large cycle, in a large number, the nation is in danger of going under, just as Reagan said. That was the problem. See, pleasure. See, we are now catering is pleasure. Something that will make me feel so good. Something, even James says something about pleasure. Let's look at pleasure in James chapter 4. James chapter 4, he says something about pleasure. In James chapter 4, he says, you ask. You don't know what you're asking. Verse 1, what is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? It's not the source, your pleasures that wage war in your members. You lust and do not have, so you commit murder. And you are envious and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. Wait a minute, you have been asking. Then he's going to tell you why you haven't gotten it. Verse 3, you ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives. There you go. Wrong motives. So that you may spend it on your pleasure. I want syndrome. I want this. It's never enough. I want. I can even compose a music on I want-ism. I want this, I want that. So I want, it never stops. I want this, you see that? I want that one. That's the new outfit. Where did you get it? JCPenney. Tomorrow I'll be in JCPenney. Where did you get your hat? Where do you get this? What? I want that. I see your new swimming pool. Who designed that? I want that. I like that corner. It's pleasure. I want for my pleasure. Never, God, give me money for missionaries. Missionary who? Who is missionary? Who is doing missionary? Who? Where? It's not your business. Because we have been taken away, far away from God. Now, there's an emptiness that needs to be filled as a believer. And that emptiness is why you're thinking that this I want will fill. If I get this, I'll be happy. If I get this, I'll be happy. Who tells you? The emptiness can only be filled with Jesus Christ, by Jesus Christ alone. And no one else can fill the emptiness of a believer. Nothing else outside of Jesus Christ can complete us. And so when we are driven in this cycle, away from God, far away from God, we enter into implosion. Because there can never be explosion until there is implosion, internal cracks. And that's the picture of America. I once wanted to be a neurosurgeon. I think I'm doing it in a different way now. I will imagine diagnosing our country to see where we are in the eyes and in the light of the scripture. So don't wonder anymore. Say, what's happening to America? No. Rather of asking what is happening to America, ask, what is happening to me? Where am I in this cycle? See, we always fast and say, it's your fault. Don't blame yourself. It started with Adam and Eve. God said, Adam, what happened? God, I was doing well until you brought this woman. You think you were doing me a favor? It wasn't really a favor. You got me into trouble by bringing her. It wasn't my fault. It's her. If what happened? Lord, don't look at me. Look at that. Do you call it serpent or what? It's always passing a buck. It's never me. And that's the problem with us. We never come to a reality of self-examination. Am I the source of the problem? Remember, every believer is a thread in the fabric of a nation under God. You contribute in strengthening or loosening the fabric of a nation under God. It takes not one thread, but so many threads to make a fabric. All you do is just take one thread out. The fabric begins to loose. Another thread goes out. Before you know it, you have no fabric. And that's exactly what is happening in America today. That's the picture. Frantic search for happiness. You find believers. My brother, he's a pastor in Mississippi. He's a professor that left his engineering position as a head of department of mechanical engineering and just pastoring a small church in Mississippi. Well, every Sunday, one third will go somewhere. I will talk to him every Sunday. I say, how is your church today? Well, it's the same old stuff. Somebody's on vacation. You find a believer having multiple vacations on one summer. I'm not talking about two. Half a dozen to a dozen vacations. The pastor sees him this Sunday and says, oh, good to have you. We haven't seen you for 2 weeks. Yeah. I was just looking forward to come. In fact, next Sunday, next week, we will be in Hawaii. I thought you just came from vacation. From Hawaii, they come back the next Sunday, see them. I say, oh, we'll come back. Yeah, we can't wait to go to Sydney next weekend. They are here, they are here, they are here. Frantic search for happiness. They are no longer getting the happiness from the church. They're thinking they'll get it in Hawaii, Halalulu, Lululu, and all those things that think that they'll bring happiness. When we are in that situation, we are in danger, as Solomon was. In 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 22, Solomon started ordering silver, gold, and so many things. In that list, he added apes and peacock. You wonder, why in the world would he do with apes and peacock? Entertainment. For sure, he wasn't ordering apes for barbecue. Barbecue ape? How would that taste? It was for entertainment, to make him... Because Solomon, at this time, he had passed from the love for God. And now he was in frantic search for something to fill him in. And that's the state we find ourselves in our nation. Entertainment driven. People spend thousands of dollars in entertainment because they're thinking that that will suit them. But outside of God, nothing suits. Outside of God, there is no peace. Outside of God, there is no happiness. Outside of God, there is no joy. Outside of God, there is no fulfillment. Only in God can we be fulfilled. Take him out, your life is finished. Take him out, there is no hope for you in this life. And there's no hope for this nation until the nation returns back to the root from which it was established, the Word of God. And so, as I close this morning, I want to close with something that may be familiar to some of you. It was a saying. It was a story told by a professor, a student that met Professor Marion in 1950s, was flying, and a student recognized him on the airplane and went and sat beside him. He was doing some work, and the person greeted him with excitement. He stopped what he was doing. And he asked him, How would you describe what is happening in our nation? At that time, the nation was still cracking. He said, what do you think? What's your take on what is happening in our nation today? He didn't say a word. He was just writing. And listening to him as he was breaking down what was going wrong in our nation. Finally, not knowing what he was writing, I wrote it here in my book, at the back of my book here, very close. Not knowing what he was writing, when the plane landed, he took the piece of paper he was writing and gave it to him and walked away. And this is what he wrote on that piece of paper. Quote, man begins his existence in bondage and rises from bondage through spiritual faith, from spiritual faith to courage, from courage to liberty, from liberty to abundance, from abundance to selfishness, from selfishness to complacency, from complacency to apathy, from apathy to dependence, from dependence back to bondage. End of quote. With your head bowed and your eyes closed, I want to dedicate this message to anyone who is here without Christ, without hope, without eternal life. And there is no reason for you to be walking around without eternal life. It's too dangerous. Death can cut you away from this life at any moment. And if you die without Christ, that means you'll be separated from Christ forever. You'll be separated from God for all eternity, for millions and millions of years. That's why it's too risky. But that can change this moment, this minute. That's good news. Jesus Christ took your place on the cross 2,000 years ago. Every sin that you have ever committed or will ever commit was laid on Christ. And every one of them was judged. Christ took your place when he said, "It is finished." The payment has been made in full. That means there is no other payment for you to pay. It's already been paid in full. The sin penalty has been settled once and for all. As a result, the door of salvation is wide open, whereby you can place your faith in Christ, the very one who took your place. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but will have eternal life." So right where you are, you can put your trust in Christ, just like the thief on the cross did when he said, "Lord, remember me when you go to paradise." In essence, he had placed his trust on Christ alone. So where you are, you can trust Christ. It's not by your works. You can never work enough. And that's why the Bible says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Faith alone in Christ alone will secure your eternal salvation and will put you out of danger for all eternity. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for this time. It is my humble prayer that you make this church a beacon of light. Pray for my brother Bob and his work here and those who work with him. Continue to bless this church. In Christ's name, amen.